Okay, so some people say that Christmas is not at all about gifts, right? Has anyone ever been told that Christmas is not about gifts? I completely disagree, all right? I think Christmas is all about the gifts, okay? Now, when I was growing up, Christmas for me, as I said, was all about the gifts. And I don't mean to sound selfish when I say that, okay? But when I think about Christmas and all the different family celebrations that we had growing up, I mean, they were wonderful parties and the food and everything, great. But what I tend to remember my Christmases by in the past was what gifts I received, okay? And I'm not necessarily proud of that, but I can tell you that when I was 11 years old, I received my first 410 shotgun. When I was 14, I received my first 20-gauge shotgun. I tend to remember the guns mostly. But also, I tend to remember like the really great gifts that I enjoyed. And I know that it's not very good. It's not like a traditional thing to say that when you're in church that Christmas is about the gifts. But tonight, that's going to be what I'm going to be discussing with you. Now, of course, we did have other traditions in our family growing up. A lot of wonderful things that we did. I remember every year that we would, our Christmas tree, after we decorated it, that on the Christmas tree, we would hang these 12 ornaments for the 12 days of Christmas. And I remember that we would have to find the ornaments, and then we would sing through the 12 days of Christmas. Now, I think we did that just about every year, and since then, I love that song. However, I probably couldn't get more than 3 of those days right. Now, that has nothing to do with tonight's message, but I just wanted to say that song, I don't know what it is, I can never get the order right of drummers drumming and gooses honking or whatever it is. But And of course, who doesn't look forward to all the wonderful things that we get to eat around Christmas time, from a big turkey dinner to whatever it is your favorite holiday thing that you like to cook? I know we typically do Christmas cinnamon rolls like we had this morning, and there's always just a lot of wonderful things that go on around Christmas time. However, my favorite childhood memories of Christmas aren't eating turkey or singing Christmas carols. It was always, for me, the Christmas gifts. I loved Christmas gifts. I remember just coming, you go up to the tree, and under the tree are all the wrap packages, and I can remember just sitting there in front of the tree, just staring at them. And I would, my parents always had the rule that you weren't allowed to touch the Christmas presents and try and figure out what's in it. It was meant to be a surprise, so. But I would go around to all the presents, and I would look at the name tags and see which ones were mine, so I could probably try and guess what was what based on the size of the package. And I'll be honest, there were times when I assumed that nobody was looking, where I would go ahead and just pick up one of the packages and give it a little shake, see if it makes any noise, feel the weight of it, try and figure it out. I probably get that from my dad. He spends more time trying to figure out what the present is than anything else. I mean, he's like a scientist when it comes to guessing Christmas gifts. But anyway, that's what I remember. I remember just loving opening Christmas gifts and the bright, shiny packages and all the different things that you would get. I loved that. Growing up, I loved Christmas gifts. Have I made that point clear? Okay. Now, there was so much excitement around for me for the Christmas gifts that oftentimes I couldn't think about anything else come Christmas Eve. I would be thinking, during the night, you wake up early morning, what am I thinking about? Jesus, right? Absolutely not. I was thinking about, I'm going to run downstairs and tear open some Christmas gifts. Okay? Now, I know that these are not the morals that we stand for being here in church, and these especially being selfish thoughts and thinking just about me and what I'm going to get. That's what I was thinking, but hey, that was just my childhood, and it's not my fault that that's what I remember, okay? But that's for what I remember for me. Typically, when I think about my Christmas experiences growing up, I remember loving gifts and loving all the things that I got, okay? Of course, like I said, I love spending time with family, friends, and eating the good food as well. Not going to get into all the food because I could go into a long list there as well. Now, of course, as the years have gone by, my life has changed to where I'm not just excited about receiving gifts, but about giving gifts. One of my favorite things is figuring out something that I can surprise my wife with or someone close to me that I can give to them that they're just going to love. That when you give them that gift, that you just see their face light up and they have that just joyful expression and, oh, it's just such a wonderful feeling. And you put all the planning, you put the time, the effort, and all of it that goes into it. And that has become, to me, more special than it has to, receive a gift. Of course, when I get a gift, I love it. But when I get to give a gift, that's, to me, even more special, to be able to give something to someone that brings joy to their life. Now, has anyone here ever received a gift that you were totally thrilled about? Of course. Now, last year, if you were here at the Christmas Eve service, when I asked that question, maybe not exactly, but I asked that question, and I remember Jack Fetzner shouts out, "My yellow helicopter!" Which, of course, was a double win for him, because not only does he like helicopters, but yellow is his favorite color. So it was a double whammy for Jack. But that always stuck out to me, because it reminded me of what I was like as a kid. You just, you know, I mean, when you get your favorite gift, you are just thrilled, you're in love, and you just can't think about anything else. Now, for me, when I'm given a gift that I really enjoy, regardless of what it is, and I'm not really sure why this was, I would take it with me and put it in my bed, and I would sleep with it. It didn't matter really what it was. All my favorite gifts, I wanted it in bed with me when I go to sleep. And to this day, I still kind of do that. Not with everything that I get, but when I get given a gun, again, I love guns and I love hunting, but when I get given a gun, I take it with me to bed. And I might do that for like a couple weeks. You can ask my wife. When I was given my first bolt-action rifle, I took it to bed probably for 2 weeks, and I had the bipod out, and I would just sit there with my gun in my bed and my PJs, and I've got my scope, you know, I'm just checking everything out in my room. I don't know what it is, but that's what I love to do when I really love a Christmas present, okay? I don't know why, but that's what I like to do. I like to take them, and it started when I was a child, but that has kind of carried on. Now, let me ask this question. What makes a Christmas gift so special? Not just a Christmas gift. What makes any gift so special? A gift is an expression of love. It represents time and effort that somebody spent on you, right? It's time that they spent working for the money so that they could go out and spend that money to purchase you a gift. It represents time that perhaps they spent making a gift. It represents time that they spent thinking about you and what kind of gift that they would really like. And then not only all of that, but then it represents the time that they took to prepare that package. You know, they put the bows on, they put the ribbons on, they put the I mean, why do you have to wrap it up so nice if you're just going to rip it all apart? It's because they actually are thinking and caring about you. And that's what a gift represents. It represents an expression of love towards someone else. Right? I mean, that's why I give gifts. I don't give gifts with like a selfish motive, like maybe I'll give them a gift and then they'll be my friend. I just give you a gift because I really, you know, I want to express, you know, love towards you in one way or another, okay? Now, let's take a look at a couple examples from the Bible and see if gifts are actually important during Christmas, okay? Turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. Matthew 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Skip down with me to verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts of him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in verse 12, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Now, what's so interesting about that in verse 12, that it says that they departed for their own country, means they weren't from that country, right? I mean, okay, that's, I kind of meant that to be funny, but it's just really simple, because they departed for their, the point is that they must have come from a different country to worship Jesus. Okay, what does it take in order to get from one country to another country? Back then, today, I mean, anytime. It takes what? Time, effort, money. A lot of different things have to go together. Planning, you have to put a lot of effort in traveling from one country to another country, right? So it wasn't, you can't just look at that and say, oh, they traveled back to their own country. Must have just been a nice trip, vacation for them. No, this is showing how much effort these people were putting into the gifts that they were bringing to Jesus. Now, for me, I thought it was just a pretty nice gesture for them, or gesture. Is it gesture or gesture? Either way, gesture for them to just travel all the way from one country to another country to find a baby that was born, although at this time it says child. They came and they saw this child and they came to worship Jesus. I mean, who does that? Who leaves from one country to go to another country because you saw a star in the sky and you knew that that star meant that there's the Savior of the world was born in another country? For someone to say, hey, let's pack up and move and we're going to, you know, go to where that I saw that star, because that means that a Savior was born. That represents a lot of stepping out in faith, believing that, hey, we're going to go find the Savior of the world. We're going to find Jesus and we're going to bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's not like these people just, you know, thought, hey, let's go see if the Savior's over there in Jerusalem. You know, let's just go see if we find him right now. No, they put a lot of time and effort into finding Jesus. And then, I mean, wouldn't it have been enough for them just to come and find Jesus and then, you know, shake hands with him and say, hey, you know, Savior of the world, welcome to earth. You know, this is great. We're so glad that you're here. But, I mean, that's not what they did. They came and they brought precious gifts, precious earthly possessions to the King of Kings. They didn't just come and shake hands. They didn't just come to say hi. They came and they worshiped him with their gifts. Now, God then gave them supernatural direction from an angel, right? Wrong. He gave them supernatural direction from a star. I mean, come on. Who does that? I mean, when's the last time that you were out wandering around and you decided to follow a star around? Okay, I mean, you can just picture, I mean, if it were my star, I know I'd be going one way and all of a sudden it'd be saying recalculating and I'd be going back the other way. But either way, these people were supernaturally led by a star to find Jesus. So that shows you something. That shows you that God clearly supported them in their mission to go present gifts to the King of Kings. If God didn't care about gift giving, then he wouldn't have supernaturally led them by a star in order for them to go and present these gifts to Jesus. When you put Jesus first, God will take care of you. God will lead you. He'll give you supernatural direction because he led them and guided them. And then it says that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when they saw the star that was leading them to where Jesus was. That's how excited that they were to go and meet Jesus, the Savior of the world. And not to pick on church people, but sometimes it's hard enough to get church people in church on Sunday, and yet these people were willing to travel across a country because they were so excited to come to be able to worship Jesus. So I believe that leaves us without an excuse when we don't want to wake up on Sunday to worship Jesus. Now, it also shows that it should be a joy for us to come and to worship the King. These people were so excited that they were going to find Jesus and that they were going to be able to worship him. We should have joy when we come and worship Jesus with our possessions, but just in general, when we come and worship Jesus, we should be full of exceedingly great joy. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought about this? What is a child going to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Did you ever wonder, like, why on earth would anyone bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a child? Isn't that a bit excessive? I mean, you know, what kind of child needs a big chunk of gold walking around? Like, hey, my name's Jesus, this is my gold, my frankincense, and myrrh, this is just great. No, it shows that God approved of what they were doing, that he wanted them to come. He specifically sent them to bring their gifts to Jesus. And too many times, the thought would be, isn't that just excessive to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a child? And wasn't Jesus poor? Wasn't Jesus poor? Isn't that what we're taught? Isn't most people taught that, you know, to be humble, you have to be poor? And Jesus was so humble, so he must have been really poor. And yet here as a child, he's being brought these expensive gifts of gold and these precious things like frankincense and myrrh. It was worship for them to bring treasures to Jesus. Amen. Now, Mary and Joseph, they could have stopped the men from giving gifts and said, like, hey, no, you know, you don't need to bring that to Jesus. He's just a kid. He's not really going to understand what gold and frankincense and myrrh is all about. So you can just take those back. That's just too much. That's excessive. And I think God could have stopped them by sending an angel or by not directing them to bring all this stuff to Jesus. But this just proves my point that God supports giving. And God... this is the Christmas story that we're talking about. So remember, I'm telling you that I believe that Christmas is all about gift giving. And here we have these wise men coming from another country to bring gifts to Jesus. Now let's take another look. Let's take another look at a different example of giving. Okay? God, this is completely different, but God expressed his love for us. Remember, what is gift giving? It's an expression of love for someone, right? God expressed his love for us when he gave the world his only son, Jesus. John 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, from the time that sin entered the world, through Adam and Eve, of course, from their sin, which that then severed our man's relationship with God, God was preparing a gift for us. And that gift was salvation from sin and eternal hell through Jesus. You see, man, because of the sin that Adam and Eve had committed, it made it so that all men were now responsible for sin and would ultimately pay the price of going to hell for eternity if we couldn't somehow overcome this sin. And God never intended for anyone to go to hell. God desires that none should perish. That's what the Bible says. God desires that none should perish. God doesn't have special people, his favorites, that he wants this person saved and not that person. There's not 144,000 select people that are going to heaven. God desires that none should perish. Now, Romans 5 and verse 19 says this, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," that's referring to Adam and Eve, "so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So even though one man's sin caused all of us to be responsible for our sin and allowed sin into the world, the one man, Jesus, when he died on the cross, made it free for us to receive salvation. That was the gift that God was planning to give for us. Remember, gift giving is an expression of love. And when you really are trying to express love to someone, you take some time, some planning, some effort, and thinking about how can I really give a gift that means something to these people. Now, these people being us, we needed salvation from sin. And Jesus, God put so much effort into thinking about how he can give us this gift of salvation because he didn't want us to be severed from him. He didn't want us to be out of fellowship with Jesus. He wants to have a relationship with each and every single one of us here tonight. And when he gave his son, he was expressing his love to each and every single one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten son. Jesus, his life was an expression of God's love to humanity. Everywhere that Jesus went, what happened? We talked about it this past Sunday if you were here. People got the lame walked, the deaf heard, the blind saw, the demon possessed got set free. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought life and life more abundantly. Everywhere he went, everyone that came into contact with him, that wanted to hear what he had to say, that wanted to receive from him, their lives got better, not worse. So why is it that sometimes people have come into contact with religion and it seems like their lives have then gotten worse? When you come in contact to religion, your life will get worse. But when you come into contact with Jesus and you have a real relationship with Jesus and you receive from him, your life will get a lot better. Everywhere that Jesus went, he brought life, he brought health, he brought joy, he brought peace, he brought love. Amen? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Did you see that it says that in verse 17? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to condemn anyone. He doesn't want to send anyone to hell. And this is so clearly seen in the life, in his life, when the religious leaders brought to him the woman caught in the act of adultery. Do you remember that? It's in John chapter 8. You can turn there. We'll read through it briefly. John chapter 8 and verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, okay, those were the religious people of his day, they brought this woman that they caught in the act of adultery. How did they catch that woman in the act of adultery? That's what I want to know. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, God is not a judgmental God that is waiting for you to sin and to fail and to screw up so that he can send you to eternal punishment. However, that is religion's point of view. The religious people of Jesus' day, when they caught someone in sin, what did they want to do? Punish her. Moses' law says that we should stone her. We would be justified in killing this woman. They wanted to kill her. That's what religion does. Religion wants to kill. Religion doesn't set people free. Only a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Father God will set you free. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there in this world that have only ever encountered religion. They've only ever encountered people like those Pharisees and like those scribes that when they, you know, are doing something wrong and they get caught or someone finds out, what do they want to do? They want to beat you up and make you feel bad about it, or even, you know, I don't think today anymore, but stone you to death, for example. In some countries, that still goes on today. Thankfully, not in America. But some people have this view of God as being a judgmental God, but he's not. Jesus, when even though he knew that this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, he didn't condemn her. He wanted to set her free. He wanted her to have life, life abundant, a life free of sin. That's why he didn't make an excuse for her sin. He said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't say sinning's okay. There's this teaching that grace says that sin is okay. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you know what? This is, zero BC or whatever. Or AD, whatever the year was. It's okay. We're advanced culturally now to where we can accept you, you know, living this type of lifestyle." He didn't say that. He didn't accept her sin. He said, "Go and sin no more." But he also didn't condemn her. He didn't beat her up and make her feel bad. He had love for her. And that's what God has for each and every single one of us. He has love for us. That's why he sent Jesus as an expression of his love, as a gift to us, so that we could receive the free gift of salvation. Amen? He is a God of love, and he desires to have a relationship with you. Now, as so many people say, Christmas isn't about gifts. It's about Jesus. Of course, right? We've all heard that, right? But without knowing, they are really saying that Christmas is about gifts because Jesus was a gift given to us. So one way or another, if you disagree with me when I say Christmas is all about gifts, what I'm really trying to say is Christmas is all about Jesus because Jesus was the gift. And his gift to us was that he provided us with salvation when he died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to pay for the sin that we owe. we owe payment for the sin as humanity, as humans, for the sin that was committed. But God provided us with a way out. He provided us with Jesus as the perfect sinless sacrifice so that we wouldn't have to. That was his Christmas gift to us. That is his gift saying, here, I don't want you to live a life separate from me. I want to have a relationship with you. And here, I love you so much that I'm going to provide you with my beloved son, and he's going to die for you so that you can have a relationship with me once again. Now, when you buy a gift for somebody, it costs something, right? I would say this, that if a gift doesn't cost you something, it doesn't really mean much to you. I'm not saying it has to be money, but there has to be some sort of investment, whether it's your time. You know, somebody might say, well, I don't have money to buy a gift for someone, but they might be able to, you know, knit something or, you know, go out and shoot a deer and give someone some nice deer steak, okay? Look, I'm just saying, you can get creative with gift giving, but there should be some sort of cost to you if it means something to you, right? If it doesn't cost me anything, it doesn't mean anything to me. So when you buy a gift for somebody that you love, though it costs you, you aren't thinking about the cost, right? You're thinking about the joy that it will bring to that loved one. Jesus did the same thing for us. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Did Jesus enjoy dying on the cross? Absolutely not. But he was paying the price for the ultimate gift that he was buying for you and me. You know, when you go out and you buy someone a gift, it's not a joy when you see $100 leaving your bank account, right? No one like goes out and buys someone a $500 gift, and when they see that going out of their account, they just like start praising and rejoicing. Woohoo, that money, I just wanted to get rid of it so bad, right? It's not the joy of losing the money. It's the joy that you're going to bring to that person that you're happy to give to them. So Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He knew that when I go and I die on this cross, that even though I'm going to suffer immensely for it and pay the ultimate price, I'm doing this so that I can have a relationship with every single one of these people, so that I can express love to each of them, so that these people will know how much I love them. He paid the ultimate price. You know, we go shopping for Christmas and we're spending money or making gifts, but he paid for us with his life. That's what he gave to us. God paid the price for the gift so that we don't have to. Jesus didn't take pleasure in dying on the cross for us, but it brought him joy knowing that salvation would be provided for us by doing so.